AM 1290 and 95.7 FM. News Talk Radio WHIO presents the newest Ask the Expert show, Shooting from the Hip. It's an hour of straight talk about firearms. When can you carry? How long do you have to wait to purchase a firearm? What about safety, training, and so much more? Your host for Shooting from the Hip is Jeff Pedro. Jeff is a 24-year veteran police officer and currently assigned City of Kettering Detective. As owner and lead firearms instructor for SIM training, Jeff is here to bring to the microphone the truth about guns. Here's Jeff on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM. News Talk Radio WHIO.
Wow, what an hour. We are already smoking already for this hour. Jeff, I mean, is this, how are we going to get through all this stuff today?
Yeah, we got a lot to cover, and we're excited about what's to come.
I mean, welcome everybody to Shooting from the Hip. I mean, this is the second week. We had full calls already the first week, but and maybe then I might be a little bit remiss here that I want to make sure that people know, first of all, why we have this show on the air and what it's all about. And this is not about becoming some cowboy, you know, and you know, all of a sudden having guns here, there, and everywhere else, as much as education, understanding, safety, the law, and to enjoy the sport of shooting. So right off the bat, let me just kind of put you on the spot. I'm going to let you get on a little bit of a soapbox here, Jeff. Tell me about SIM Trainer, the company that you are associated with, of course, what it is, where it is, what your role it is. Tell me about it. So maybe people that are tuning in again today, they're going to go, now, who is this guy? So who are you?
Tommy, Sim Trainer is a indoor shooting range that offers a variety of different firearms training classes and recreational shooting opportunities to people in the Miami Valley. Our facility features 10 individual stalls, each 65 feet long. We have push-button target retrieval system, a high-tech ventilation system that's air-conditioned in the summer and heated in the winter. We have a knowledgeable staff that includes police officers, military personnel, and NRA and OPATA certified instructors. We offer a variety of different membership opportunities so people can enjoy the sport. We're located down at 2031 Dryden Road in Moraine, right across from DP&L. You can visit us on the web at www.sim-trainer.com, or you can call us at 937-293-3914. And as Tommy said earlier, I want to emphasize that our main focus is on providing people in the Miami Valley with an opportunity to be able to shoot in a safe environment, have experienced instructors who can teach firearms and personal safety skills that are easy to learn, easy to practice, and easy to recall and apply.
So you really don't, it's not, the term being afraid of guns really is dispelled pretty much up front.
Absolutely. That's one of the first things we do with people from the beginning. We kind of do away with that fear through education.
And Jeff, when you talk about training, it's not necessarily pulling the trigger. That's something that, like I think you had mentioned last week, that's a small part of it. It's really understanding not only how that firearm works, but really the responsibility of it. And one of the things I couldn't help but think about was, and I really want to get into this, I think for people that might be listening in today, they might have to share in my interest, of how do you help me to go the first time that I've got to pick up that gun because I've got an intruder in my house, how do I know that I have a better opportunity that I'm going to defend my family in my home and literally pull that trigger if I need to?
Well, we start off talking about mental preparation for that very situation and the dynamics that go into that thought process. And then the easy part is teaching them the mechanical operation of the gun and how easy it is to shoot accurately. But then we transition to the fact that the stressors involved in a high stressful incident like that are going to affect the physical abilities. So as a result, we take them through scenarios and through training that prepares them for that ultimate encounter. And mentally is the key. Like I told you last week, and the constant theme that runs through our training is that it's the serious responsibility that goes along with gun ownership, carrying a gun, and potentially using a gun that people need to understand. And we drill that home throughout all of our training courses.
So really, that's not something that you can say, well, can I just skip that? I've got a real good sharp wit. And Jeff, you know what? I just want to be able to fire that pistol.
Absolutely not. Quite the contrary. That's the most important part of the training, if that's what they're coming there for.
Do firearms associations look at your curriculum and go, yeah, this is good, or, you know, hey, this may need some improvement, or, you know what, you guys really do a great job on making sure. Is there some sort of a big brother that looks over your shoulder to make sure that you do the right thing, Jeff?
It's not so much big brother as it is the sharing of ideas. I've been fortunate over 20-plus years being involved in the shooting sports to have visited some of the best training facilities throughout the country. And what we do is we pick and choose the best concepts that we use for ourselves that we want to pass on to our students. And that's kind of how it is throughout the industry. You know, there are a few major trainers throughout the country at the national level, particularly in the law enforcement field that I'm most affiliated with, who have kind of set the tempo. And one of the local individuals by the name of Dave Spalding is a retired Montgomery County Sheriff's Deputy. He's one of the preeminent trainers in the country. And he kind of set the standard. And as a result, he passes that on to us, and we pass it on to our students, and it makes it for a great opportunity.
Okay, so you're drawing from experience and knowledge of what you know already works. So it's
absolutely
not a trial and error. But, you know, let's say we have a young lady, we'll call her Missy, that comes in, and she's going, oh, sir, I'm not sure. Police Academy, you know, the spoof movie.
Right.
Very timid, you know, whatever. Versus some person who comes in like, huh, what? I've been shooting a gun since I was 6 years old on my grandpa's farm. How do you curtail your training to two completely different personalities?
Well, that's what's nice about the way we do things, because it can be customized for the individual's mindset, their abilities, and their intentions. Some people come just for the purpose of learning to shoot a gun for recreational purposes. Others, like the old lady that you were talking about, and I can think of one that comes to mind, 62 years old, husband passed away.
Okay.
She said, I'm tired of living in fear. She said, I want to learn how to shoot a gun because my husband said it was an equalizer and that I would never have to live in fear if he was gone. She went through the training, and lo and behold, that was her attitude, and she's very competent and capable.
Wow. Well, that's very interesting. Yeah. And by the way, if you have questions or comments, concerns about shooting from the hip, we invite your call. The phone lines are open for your call at 457-1290. And we have so much to talk about and a list, but now your partner is with us. And where is Mark at?
Mark's out at the NRA annual conference out in Phoenix, Arizona, and one of the main purposes for him being there was he wants to talk to some of the industry experts to talk about some of the big issues like shortages and products and ammunition, and he's got a host of people that we're going to be able to talk with today and try to get some of the information that many of us have questions
about. And that
about.
Is key, again, to become more educated.
Absolutely.
Mark, are you with us?
I certainly am, and I've got Glenn Wisser with me today from Glock.
All right. Oh yeah.
Hi there. Good morning.
All right. Well, excellent. Welcome to our show. All right. Kind of in a 60-second capsule, kind of give us a little bit of information from a consumer's perspective. What should we know about, you know, your products or your industry or things that we should be aware of that are good questions we should ask if we're going to get involved in firearms and firearms training?
Well, the first thing, of course, is to make sure that the firearm that you're recommending for a particular individual fits that person, both in capabilities and then a physical fit to their hands and physical build. Make sure that they have the gun that's best for them. And secondly, try not to overgun them. We're talking about primarily defensive use of the firearm here, or personal plinking for tin cans or targets. And there's no particular reason to be shooting a .44 Magnum or a .45 Auto if a 9mm will suffice. So tailor the gun and the holster and product to the individual.
Glenn, tell us a little bit about what's going on right now at Glock to ramp up for the increased demand. There's been obviously a whole lot more guns sold in the last 6 months than has been going on before. So tell us a little bit about what's happening at Glock.
Well, we're usually about 40 to 45 days behind on our back orders, and we simply build the gun to the orders of the distributors as they send their orders to us. So we don't build the inventory. We never have anything on the shelf. Normally 45 days. We are now running 4 months behind on back orders. We're back ordered about 200,000 guns, something like that, and we're building 60,000 guns per month in the Georgia plant to try to keep up. So we've ramped up. We basically doubled our production in the last 5 months from 30,000 guns a month to about 60,000 a month to try to keep up with the demand, both law enforcement and civilian.
How interesting. So would you say that there's a trend of more people just saying, you know what, I want to own a gun for recreational enjoyment more so than before versus safety, or maybe the other way around?
Well, both. We're finding far more new shooters, people that are coming in that have either never owned a gun and many times have never even fired a gun before, and are asking, you know, what do I need, what should I have, what am I going to do with it, where do I find training?
Excellent, excellent. All right, Mark, we're going to put you back on hold. We'll come back to you guys in a little bit. It's about 17 minutes after the hour. So I'm taking from this, Jeff, that right off the bat, it is important for you as not only a business owner, but you also have a great deal of responsibility to your public and to your customers that you need to make sure what's going on in the industry, the trends, as well as what the interests are on a national as well as local basis to make sure that you're in compliance with what the public wants.
Absolutely, and we take great measures to make sure that we stay up abreast of those kinds of issues. Mark's out at the NRA conference now in February. He went out to the SHOT Show, or down to the SHOT Show in Orlando for that very purpose, to get out and see what's going on in the industry, see what the manufacturers are saying so that we can bring that information back to the public. And the big thing is accurate information, because quite frankly, right now, and we'll be talking about this a little bit later in the show, there's a lot of misinformation that's floating around, particularly out on the internet, that's causing a lot of frenzy, and we want to help dispel some of that.
I think that's actually a real key point. All right, yeah. We're going to open up the phone lines to your calls at 457-1290. We've got an interview that we're going to play here in just a second or so, and then when we come back from the break, we'll take your calls and we'll talk about those questions that Jeff has just brought up here. You're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Hi, this is Cam Edwards, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
And thank you so very much, Cam. Wow, Jeff, another hour. I've got so much stuff here. Can we just ask Clark Howard to take off a couple of hours? We'll just stay on. I would get in so much trouble. Right off the bat, you know, they were talking about the right firearms, the things that fit comfortably. You know, I've got to assume that when the Dirty Harry movie came out and he had this 45 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, those sales probably went up. And I'm sure you got tons of stories that you could tell us. I mean, we can talk about that. But you also deal with firearms, do you not?
Yes, I do.
Why do you do sales? Why do you do firearm sales?
Well, because just like the Glock representative mentioned, we want to make sure people get the right gun for them. Because when you walk into a gun store, many of them, quite frankly, they'll sell you whatever gun you're willing to buy. And if you haven't shot one, then you don't know what you're getting into. We have many people who go out and buy the gun. They come down, they want us to teach the gun, and we find out, and they find out through experience, that's not the right gun for them.
Like this 45 Magnum or whatever.
44 Magnum. 44 Magnum, sorry. Gun, right. That would not be a good gun for most people to shoot just because of its power.
And what? But just they become intimidated, going, whoa, I had no idea? Or what?
They wouldn't be able to handle it. The recoil is so substantial, they wouldn't be able to handle it because it's a pretty powerful firearm. So it's not something that the typical person, especially the novice getting into the sport, would want to deal with. Okay. That's something down the road they might experiment with a few shots.
Somebody comes to you and they go, I'm going to buy a gun from you guys. How's that work?
We tell them we want you to take some training. We're going to give you the opportunity to shoot a variety of different guns, different sizes, different hand configurations, and we're going to let you pick through informed process which gun's right for you with our assistance.
Do they have to be a member?
No, they don't have to be a member. They can come and they can take our classes or take private lessons to get that accomplished.
Okay, all right. How do you take any additional steps, Jeff, about making sure you know who you're selling to?
Yes. One unique feature about our place, we will only sell guns to people who take our classes or are members of our range. And part of the reason for that is they have to undergo a background check in order to be affiliated with us.
Okay, so you're making sure you're not putting guns into the bad guys.
Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
I think that's real key. Mark, you still with us?
I am here.
All right, Mark, thank you so much for being patient. You've got more stuff for us. Go ahead, buddy.
I certainly do. I've got Randy Luthman with me, who's the president of DPMS Firearms, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about where DPMS is. I mean, they're in the black rifle market, and that's one of the big hot markets right now. Handguns for personal protection and tactical rifles have been real hot right now. So, Randy, welcome to the show.
Great. Thanks for having me on. We're here at the NRA convention, obviously, and I was just walking the hallways here before we got on the air. I've not seen this many people at an NRA convention in a number of years. Maybe Pittsburgh back a few years ago. It's great to see this many shooters in America showing up for this great event.
Randy,
it's really crowded here, too. I mean, you look out, there were people standing in line yesterday to get into the NRA store,
and the store wasn't even open yet. And they had lines out the door. It was still a whole day before they actually opened for the first the actual part of the show. The show wasn't even open until Friday. Randy, tell us a little bit about what's going on at DPMS and the kinds of, you know, the impact that you've seen leading up to and since the election.
Well, basically, Mark, we saw our first major increase when Hillary won New Hampshire a little over a year ago. That's when our phone started to ring. Late 07, we were just kind of starting to get caught up on the DPMS AR-15 style rifles. Hillary wins New Hampshire, the phone starts to ring off the hook because of that fear. And then, of course, they battled it out. She battled it out with Obama, and then it continued. Usually we'll see a slowdown in sales in the summer months, but last year it was just complete chaos on the ordering side, which is a good thing, obviously. And then once Obama, it was apparent that he was going to win in October, then the phones really lit it up. So production-wise, we've more than doubled our production in less than a year to accommodate the back orders. Our back orders are basically, on some models, about a year behind. We're not proud of that, but we're doing everything we can to increase production. It's a parts supply issue. It's platers, it's heat treaters, it's castings, it's forgings, but we're doing everything we can to ship out as many guns as possible and retain quality and still come up with some new ideas and products as well for next year's SHOT Show.
Okay, hey, listen. I know we got to do a break here. Coming up in a couple minutes, we got news coming up. Chris, do we got a spot before the news that we need to make sure we clear? Okay, we're okay. So we've got about a minute to wrap things up, and then we're going to come back with more from Mark out at Phoenix at the NRA show. And Jeff, we've got so much more that we want to talk about. When we come back, we're going to try and take some phone calls at 457-1290. But I want to make sure that people understand if they're hearing all this great information, they're going to go, whoa. Now wait a minute. I'm interested. But I want to become an educated consumer. Is there, I'm not going to say a one-stop shop information line, but can they call you and go, wait a minute, that guy talked about last Saturday on your show, and can you give them some websites, some information? What's the number that they can reach you at, Mark?
It's 937-293-3914, or the website, SimTrainer. It's www.sim-trainer.com. Just send us an email, and we'll get back to them.
And the phone number again is?
937-293-3914.
Okay, it's all about shooting from the hip, and you are listening to the Miami Valley Home Improvement Hour. Last hour, now it's Shooting from the Hip, the brand new show. We're jazzed to have him on the air on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Call in with your question or comment at 457-1290. This is the Ask the Expert Show, Shooting from the Hip, on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO. AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio WHIO, presents the newest Ask the Expert show, Shooting from the Hip. It's an hour of straight talk about firearms. When can you carry? How long do you have to wait to purchase a firearm? What about safety, training, and so much more? Your host for Shooting from the Hip is Jeff Pedro. Jeff is a 24-year veteran police officer and currently assigned City of Kettering Detective. As owner and lead firearms instructor for Sim Training, Jeff is here to bring to the microphone the truth about guns. Here's Jeff on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio WHIO.
Jeff, have you ever had such a busy hour?
It's whizzing by.
It is whizzing by. I mean, we have calls that are lined up. And I tell you what, let's go and let's take a couple of these calls. Mark, stay with us. Just hold on for about a minute. We're going to bring up a call here. Dave's been patiently waiting. He's in Centerville. Dave, you've got Jeff and Mark. Go ahead with your question for these gentlemen.
All right, Jeff, thank you for taking my phone call.
Go ahead, Dave.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I have a concealed carry permit. And my wife and I go camping a lot to state campgrounds, and I just wanted to know if it is legal to carry that handgun into a state campground.
Dave, yes, you are able to take it into the campground. You just have to follow all the provisions of law.
Well, I don't know.
Are you there, Dave? I just lost you, Dave.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm going to go ahead. Go ahead. Finish your thought there, Jeff.
Yeah, he'll be able to take it into the campground. He just has to follow all of the provisions of law.
All right, thank you so much for the call. That was kind of weird. Chris, we lost Mark maybe as well. If he joins back up with us, just let us know. That's not a problem. We got another call here. Joanna's down in Middletown. Hopefully we'll be okay with that. Joanna, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
There she is. All right. You have Jeff Pedro. He is, of course, with Sim Trainer. Go ahead and ask your question.
Well, first I want to say I don't want to sound like a crazy conspiracy theorist, but I have been hearing some things about the ammo shortage, and one of the reasons I've heard was that the ammo dealers are not allowed or are limited to selling to consumers, and that's causing the shortages. And I kind of want to get the real facts on that and find out, you know, and you might have already talked about this. And then the other question was, if something happens and our right to bear arms is jeopardized, what happens to all the guns that are being purchased now? Are they going to be taken away, or do you get to keep them? Are they grandfathered in, or, you know, what happens? So I'm a crazy conspiracy theorist.
No. Those are two very good questions, Jeff.
You bring up some very good issues that are obviously very emotion-charged. The first thing I want to address is you mentioned that there are limitations placed on the amount of ammo that the distributors can provide. That's not the case. They are having to establish priorities for pumping out ammunition for military and law enforcement. However, there are tremendous supplies. The problem is that demand is so high right now, they're not able to keep up. They're at peak production plus. And Mark's talked to several distributors, and I've talked with several distributors over the last couple of weeks, and they're doing the best they can to keep up. One of the problems you mentioned is that there is a frenzy, and I'm going to describe it just as a frenzy of anticipation on the part of the consumers that there will, in fact, be some legislation handed down that might somehow restrict firearms ownership, firearms use, ammunition production, ammunition sales, and a variety of other legislation along those lines. And what we found is that much of that is just frenzy. We have to be constantly cautious and vigilant about those issues, but what's happening now, there's a bunch of misinformation being distributed throughout the Internet. For example, just last week, there was an email that was distributed pretty much industry-wide stating that the federal government was coming down with a mandate that was going to require the scrapping of all brass coming out of the military depots, and that's not the case. I talked to one of the major distributors for Black Hills Ammunition, and he said that's not the case. There has been no decline in production. That is strictly a rumor. It was misinformation. It was misinterpreted when it hit the Internet, and then it spread like wildfire, like so many things do. The other thing to remember is that there is, in fact, some huge consumption issues that are contributing to the shortages. And I just want to quote cite two sources of information. The National Shooting Sports Foundation just completed their data on 2008 sales, and what they found in general across the board, a 30% minimum increase in firearms, ammunition, and accessory sales. And just recently, comparing April 2009 to April 2008 data, that was reaffirmed based on checking NICS check or the National Incident Criminal Background Check System. They found that there's an additional 30% increase in the number of people applying for and purchasing firearms. So the huge increase in consumption has also affected distribution, because you have to remember, many of these companies are small companies, and they really can't invest in the infrastructure to increase production themselves. So they're just going to have to hope that the frenzy kind of dies down and they'll get back to where they're at. But I will assure you, based on everybody we've talked to, they're at peak production plus, and it's simply a consumption issue, which isn't a bad thing. We just have to kind of weather the storm and we'll get back on track.
Jeff, is there a hoarding word that can be put into this?
Yeah, the other issue is that there are, particularly the ammunition category, we have found that there's a bunch of hoarding going on, and I'm going to describe hoarding as there's people just buying up large amounts of ammunition and not using it. And what that's doing is that's fine for them as a consumer. They have, certainly have the right to do that, but they're taking the ammunition that's on the market, storing it for whatever their reason is for long-term purposes, and it's taking it out of the hands of the sporting shooters and the people who need it for other purposes.
Okay. Well, thank you.
All right, Joanna, thank you so much for your call. That was a great...
And I can't emphasize enough, Tommy, this issue about people think that they're getting paranoid. They're really not paranoid, because we know we have a more or less an anti-gun administration. At least the agenda is anti-gun. And certainly some of their legislation and some of their talk is that they're going to do everything they can to try to restrict gun sales and ammunition sales. But we think that with the NRA kind of spearheading the NRA spearheading the charge, and they're doing a tremendous job. They're going to be able to cut off some of those attacks on the pro gun community. And
but it's going to take time.
It's going to take time.
I mean, it's the second
time and patience.
All right, well, let's go. Mark, we're going to go back to him in Phoenix. Mark, you with us?
Yeah, I am. Sorry, I fell in a hole and punched the wrong button. So just as you were coming to me last time, I disappeared. I've talked to some of the ammunition manufacturers here, and although they weren't willing to go on the record and do an interview with us today, they all said the same thing. They're running 24/7. Their production is up anywhere from 30 to 100%. And they're cranking it out as fast as they possibly can. As soon as they make it, it's going on the trucks and getting out to the distributors. But there is such a huge demand right now, and there is so much ammunition being purchased that there's no way they can keep up. Some of them have started to make the investment in getting more production capability, but that's a long lead time item. You can't just go to your local store and purchase ammunition manufacturing equipment. It's all custom built. So they have to order it. It has to be built. And then they have to get the facilities, a place to put it. They have to actually build more buildings and more production floor space. So they do that. They can get the materials right now. That's not a big problem. There was back in 2006, there was a shortage of some of the base metals, but that's not so much of a problem now. Right now, it's just a matter of getting the stuff made.
Now, Jeff and Mark, do you guys find that for your company, not just for commercial individuals like SimTrainer? Do you find that you have to be then go beyond the norm of trying to find ammunition or weapons? Do you find that you've got to branch out?
Absolutely, absolutely. We pretty much, up to this point, the last 6 months, we confined or kept our distribution points kind of east of the Mississippi, but we've had to expand to the West Coast because of availability. And we found some pretty decent sources, but you've got to reach out and see where it's at and get it from where you can.
Now, let's talk about from an economical standpoint. Is that driving up the price? Is it costing you more to get the ammunition?
Slightly. I think some of the chain stores have driven the price, and that's strictly a supply and demand issue. But I just want to mention a couple things relative to the significance of this. The data that I cited earlier, just to give you an idea how much that is, the estimated sales increase or the actual total sales for 2008 almost went over $1 billion in the firearms industry. And the breakdown was about $28 million for pistols and revolvers, $36 million for long guns, and $36 million for ammunition. And that was over a 30% increase over any other year, particularly 2008, on record. So the numbers are staggering. The amount of people out there that are consuming, that are purchasing firearms for a variety of weapons, purchasing accessories, purchasing ammo, the shortfalls in the economy certainly haven't stopped them.
All right, we're going to go to a break here, and then when we come back, we're going to talk more about what's important to you. And we got a couple of calls we want to take as well. You are listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Hi, this is Rachel Parsons, spokesperson for the National Rifle Association, and you're on Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
You're tuned in to the Country Club of the North, Ask the Expert Show, Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Thank you so very much, Jeff Davis. It is now 9 minutes in front of the 3 o'clock hour, looking at about 69 degrees in the Miami Valley. This has been an incredible hour. This has been an hour of information more than I think than anything, Jeff. You have just got tons of stuff that people can learn. SimTrainer is really the place that I think that whether they come to your place or somewhere else, I think you really want to hit home. Become an educated, informed owner.
Exactly.
Don't just think you're going to go out and buy a gun. Your next door neighbor's got an old shotgun he wants to sell. Oh, yeah, I'll give you $10 for that thing. You know, you're looking for more trouble than it's worth.
Exactly. Not only firearms-related issues, but that's the purpose of this show. As part of the SimTrainer network, we want to get the information out there so that people are informed, they can make informed decisions.
And now, do you want to do this call first, or did you want to go to Mark
still
first?
Take call.
Okay. All right. George is up in Clayton. He's been patiently waiting. George, thanks so much for waiting. George, go ahead with your question for Mark and Jeff.
Yeah, I apologize if this question has already been addressed.
Go ahead, sir.
I'm getting a lot of echo here for some reason or other.
That's okay. Go ahead and state your question. That's all right.
Okay. It seems that the rules on carrying an unconcealed weapon are pretty murky. Case in point, a local citizen was carrying an unconcealed firearm at a festival and the police stopped him and told him to put it away since he had a concealed carry permit. And he said he didn't want to, and I guess they leaned on him until he finally put it away. I'm just wondering, what's the situation here?
All right, well, since you got some echo, George, I'm going to let you go ahead, and you can hang up, and you can listen to the answer so it's nice and clean. Okay, gentlemen, go ahead with your response, Jeff.
George, I've got a little bit different twist than I'm sure Mark has on this, being involved in law enforcement. There's no specific prohibition against carrying a weapon open in public. However, when you create inconvenience, annoyance, and alarm, and in a festival like that, there are people who aren't very familiar with guns, who are alarmed, they're going to be alarmed, and they're going to notify law enforcement. And the whole concept of concealed carry is just that. Carry it concealed. It gives you a tactical advantage if you're involved in a situation, and there's really no reason to carry it unconcealed. Mark, you got a different twist?
Yeah, well, just a little bit. I do absolutely agree with the tactical advantage that you have when you carry concealed. The issue is, though, that we do have a right to keep and bear arms, and in Ohio we have a constitutional right, and open carry has been legal in Ohio since before we had a concealed carry law. So I certainly understand somebody wanting to carry openly and feeling like that there's no need for them to hide, but the society, as you mentioned, Jeff, is just not quite ready for that. I think we need to break into it more gradually. The best way to do that is with training, to get more people trained, to get more people understanding what it is to carry a firearm, and that good guys do it too. The cops all carry firearms. They don't carry them concealed, and people expect that. We need people to begin to expect law-abiding citizens to also carry firearms, whether they are concealed or not, and not to be upset by that, just as they weren't 50 years ago or 100 years ago in this country when it was the law-abiding citizens with their own personal firearms that freed this country.
Very good. All right, Jeff.
Mark, who do you have with you right now?
I've got Darren Lasore with me. He's the manager of hunting policy for the NRA, and he was talking a little bit ago about some of the hunting issues and some of the faux hunting groups that are out there that are taking money from the organizations that really deserve it simply because they have a name that's similar. Darren, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Mark. Mark, you're right. One of the things that's most important for the public to understand is who is against us relative to hunting rights, and that is the Humane Society of the United States. It's the $120 million behemoth organization that does nothing but lobbies against our ability to hunt. It does not take care of the kittens and the puppies at the corner shelters. That is the Humane Society. We need to be aware of the confusion between the Humane Society of the United States and the local Humane Societies, and make sure that we are not financially supporting HSUS, which is the anti-gun lobby in America.
Yeah, they're sort of PETA with a suit. They profess themselves to be supporters of animal rights, but what they're really trying to do is stop all hunting, all recreational use of firearms, all recreational use of the environment. They're much more into preservation than conservation.
Absolutely. That's very well put, and they are the politically sophisticated animal rights movement. Certainly that is not PETA, but it is HSUS. And for as far as the firearms ownership aspects of it, HSUS is advocating for an entire nationwide ban on the use of lead ammunition, not just for hunting, but all lead ammunition. And they play in that light hand-in-hand with Brady Organization and all the gun confiscators out there. So even if you don't hunt, realize that these anti-hunting groups are hand-in-hand with the anti-gun groups, and that's why we need to defeat both of them.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you think you've got a problem buying ammo now, wait till you can't use lead to make it.
Thanks, Mark.
That's absolutely true, and the anti-gunners know it, and the anti-hunters know it. They know if they can make it prohibitively expensive, fewer and fewer people will own firearms, and it's going to make it easier for them to try to take them from us.
Darren, thanks for joining us on Shooting from the Hip.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Mark. For the listeners out there, there's a couple things. As we mentioned several times throughout the show, we want to provide a lot of information, and that's just another example. It expands beyond just recreational shooting, but it goes into the hunting industry because it's related. A couple other things I want to make you aware of. Last week, we talked about the Blair Holt Firearms Licensing Bill, H.R. 45. I want you to keep track of that bill. We're going to also do the same. We feel very confident that that's not going to make it very far. It has no co-sponsors, but get on the internet, just do a keyword search on H.R. 45, and you can track it. Two other bills I want you to watch are H.R. 2159. That's H.R. 2159. That's the Denying Firearms and Explosives to Terrorist Acts of 2009, and that's a bill that we got to be careful was because of, because that's designed to increase public safety by permitting the Attorney General to deny the transfer of a firearm or the issuance of firearms or explosive licenses to known or, keyword, suspected dangerous terrorists. And the bad thing about this bill is it gives him pretty much unfettered discretion to do that without any checks and balances in place. So keep an eye out for the progress of H.R. 2159. And finally, a bill that's really promising is H.R. 17. That's the Citizens Defense Act of 2009. Again, it's H.R. 17. The purpose of that bill is to protect the right to obtain firearms for security and to use firearms in defense of family, self, and home, and to provide for enforcement of such right. That's a very pro-gun bill, and I want you to watch progress, and we're going to be updating you on a regular basis of these bills, and I want you to do the same and stay informed.
All right, Jeff, we got less than a minute. Real quick, I want to talk about a couple things with Sim Trainer. If people want, if they're interested in learning about specific, let's say if they have a shotgun they want to learn about firing or a pistol, whatever, they can go to your website, which is
www.sim-trainer.com, or call us at 937-293-3914, and we'll customize a program for your individual needs.
Okay, ages 18 to...
Ages 10 to 80.
Okay, all right.
And beyond and below.
All right, next week we want to talk about competitive shooting a little bit. I'd like to learn more about what, you know, after your classes are done, can you have fun and enjoy this a little bit more? All right, you've been listening to Shooting from the Hip. Wow, what an hour. Thanks to all the folks that called in. And, of course, Mark Avery out at the Phoenix for the NRA show. Great about him information. We invite you to tune in next week here on Ask the Expert Weekends on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.